the story. Years ago, many, many years ago, Adam and Eve messed everything up for us, didn't they? They really did. And we have the privilege of having the Word of God, and we go back and look at the history of what took place and how the fall took place. And we know that it all had to do with disobeying God, not doing what God said and not doing it by faith. Just taking God at His Word. You know it's good to take God at His Word? Just take Him at His Word. And you'll always be right. I invite you now to turn, if you will, to the book of Genesis. And turn to chapter 4. We're going to look at a rejected sacrifice. And we look at the story of Cain and Abel. What took place and transpired here was a result of Adam and Eve's transgression. And it threw the whole world into chaos, the world then, not many people, but enough that we see the results of sin and disobedience and the failure that was involved. These first few verses, we see the offering that is offered. And then we see the anger that came, and then we see the judgment. Let's read those verses, and we'll go back and make some comments about what we've read here. Beginning in verse 1, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Perhaps she thought that this was the promised seed, and that he would be the one that would be the Redeemer. I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance failed. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him, killed him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, by the way, God knew where he was. But he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. It shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Now we want to concern ourselves first about the offerings that were offered here. As we look at these offerings, we see one that has to do with an animal and blood. And then we see another that has to do with the result of man's work and the result of what man could do. Both of these seem to be acts of worship, at least to some degree. Cain brought of the fruit of his ground an offering unto the Lord, the fruit of the ground. And Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock. I believe that probably Adam and Eve, because of their experience, told them that God required not fig leaves, not a covering that they came up with. You remember when they were naked, they had sinned and they made the fig leaves, but God said, no, that won't do. That's the result of what you have done to cover up your sin, and that will not work. And so there had to be an animal shed, animal killed, and blood shed. And because of that blood and the skin of those animals, they were covered. And that, of course, is a theology in itself. Without the shedding of blood, there just isn't any remission of sin. It's just not going to be there. And so we have the offering that was given and these acts seemingly sincere in what they were doing. And here we have Cain offering his sacrifice. Here he comes with them, bringing them before the Lord. But this depicts and pictures what most people try to do in order to get to heaven and to satisfy God. I think Cain knew what he was supposed to do. He just rebelled against doing it God's way. And so here he comes with the efforts of his own hands, a form of worship. God said there is a form of worship, having a form of godliness, 2 Timothy 3:5, but denying the power thereof, a form of godliness. It looks holy, it looks right. Throughout the whole world today, there are people going through traditions, rituals, and all kinds of thoughts about how good they are and what they have done and how all of these things will wash away their sins and get them saved, or at least for a little while until they maybe have communion again or something of that nature. It all is works-based. Really, when you get to it, there are two kinds of religion in the world. One is salvation by grace that you don't earn, that is mercy. The other, all other religions, whatever they are, and the cults, all of them, you can lump them all together in the bag and understand that they're all trying to get there by some deeds, some ways of work, whether it be a holy war or whatever it may be, working their way to heaven. Friend, let me tell you today, you'll never work your way to heaven. You'll never do enough works, earn enough things, in order to be justified before God. It isn't going to happen. And so Cain had his rejected. Matthew 15:8. These are people, he says, that draw nigh with their mouth, but they don't honor me with their hearts, because their hearts are far from me. You have to be born again by the Spirit of God, based on the Word of God, which tells us that salvation is by grace through Jesus Christ. Any self-will will not get you to heaven. It won't please God. Jude 11 says this, "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain." Who is he talking about? He was talking about some people that were living a very wicked life before that, and some of the things they were trying to do to appease God. And he said, no, they've gone the way of Cain. God says the way of Cain is the wrong way. Jude 11, read it there. But what about Abel's? Well, we know that God accepted it, because I believe Abel brought a sacrifice by faith. Did you know anybody goes to heaven has to go by faith? Abraham didn't get to heaven by his works. And Moses didn't get there by the keeping of the law perfectly, though he was used to give the law. Abraham was justified by faith. And anybody that is saved by faith today, we are in a sense children of Abraham. We belong to God because it is faith that justifies us. And he says in Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Why? Why was he righteous and Cain wasn't righteous? Because he came by faith, believing what he was told about the blood of Christ, believing that there had to be the shedding of blood, and that the sacrifice brought had not to represent him and his work. He was a cowboy. He was a rancher. He raised sheep. And Cain was a farmer, and he raised the crops. But the crops were not what God wanted. God wanted the blood. And we get made fun of today because we still preach the blood. But let them make fun of us, we're right. It's the blood of Christ, and only the blood of Christ. And they can call our religion a bloody religion. Let them do it. But that's all right. I'll tell you that obedience to God is better than sacrifice. And God said it's got to be the blood sacrifice. And so he was obeying what God said. And so the offering was very, very important here on this first occasion. But then look at the anger that took place. The anger that was there. Look at verse 5, the middle part of that verse. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are you mad? Why are you angry? Why is thy countenance fallen? Why has that happened? Why is it there? And I believe that he had that anger because of his pride, because of jealousy, because of these things were in his life. And he didn't want to come God's way. Friend, you got to come God's way. I don't care how sincere you are in any other way, it's the wrong way. It has to be the Bible way. It has to be God's way. And so Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. What was he trying to do? He's trying to justify himself. And he's saying, you cannot do it that way. There's no way that you can do that. The wrath of God comes upon people. In Ephesians 4:27, in the verse before that, he's talking about the wrath of God. And you cannot be justified any other way. And you must not give place to the devil. And that's exactly what Cain did. He listened to the lie of the devil and tried to justify himself. 1 John 3 and verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. See, he wanted to do it his way instead of God's way. But Abel said, I only have a choice of doing it God's way. God's way is the only way. God's way is the right way. God is the only means whereby we're going to be justified. There is no other way. There's no other way to be justified. And so here he was, all bent out of shape. His countenance fell. The Lord asked him what was wrong with him, why he was angry, why he was mad. And then in verse 7, God is so merciful to him, we might say here he's giving him a second chance. Look at it. If thou doest well, in other words, if you trust the blood, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Here he is giving him another chance. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. That's the problem. That's always the problem. That's why people don't want to get saved. It's sin. They don't want to give up their sin. They want to hang on to their sin. And they think they can get by with their sin. Friend, you will not get by with your sin. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so we know that sin certainly has that eternal impact on us. But he said, if thou doest well, you'll be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Well, he's simply saying that you have the opportunity to get saved if you would get saved. God offers that, and God is merciful, and God is long-suffering. To some of you that are here today, you've rejected Jesus for a number of years. And I want to tell you, you better thank God that he's still dealing with you. That your heart hadn't gotten seared and hardened and hardened and hardened. So that you can still be under conviction and understand that God loves you and God wants to save you. And God gives us second chances and sometimes third and fourth and fifth chances. But every time there's a hardening of the heart, a hardening of the heart, a hardening of the heart. And if we're not careful, we'll die in our lost condition and go to an eternal place called hell. Bible says in 1 John 3:12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. He didn't like the fact that he did it the way God said do it. He wanted to do it his own way. We find people everywhere want to do it their own way. Friend, you can't do it your own way and get to heaven. You've got to do it God's way. That's the only hope you have, is to do it God's way. If you don't do it God's way, you will not get there. It's not going to happen. It's just like God to offer a stubborn sinner a second chance. And maybe today is the day that he's giving you another chance. And by the grace of God, I would encourage you to take that chance. Because every time your heart, there's an atrophy. It hardens and it hardens and it hardens. If God is speaking to you and you have any conviction in your soul today, you ought to thank God a million times over that he's still dealing with you and that he'll still save your soul. Then we have in the next few verses the record of the first murder. The first murder that takes place. Verse 8, Cain talked with Abel, his brother. He didn't like what was required of him. He didn't like what was said. He made up his mind. Wrong choice. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. First murder that is recorded in the Word of God, all because of pride and all because of sin. Cain had a chance to be saved, but he didn't take that opportunity. There's anger and there's murder. Would you turn to Matthew just a second with me, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I want to share just a couple of these verses with you to show you what God is saying about this relationship. He said in verse 21, Matthew 5:21, you have heard that it was said, by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, that means you're empty, you're worthless, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to thy altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast in prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Here he's talking about the fact that we can be filled with anger and hatred, and that if we don't take the way out and we don't ask for forgiveness, then we pay the price for that. We are guilty before God. And that's exactly what happened to Cain. And he was so filled with bitterness and jealousy and self that he would not accept God's plan. He was filled with pride. Pride condemns more people to hell than anything else in the world. Too proud to admit you're a sinner. Too proud to admit that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Too proud to admit the only way to be justified is by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the first murder was committed, anger and murder and sin. And then there's a denial in verse 9. The Lord said unto Cain, where's Abel thy brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, he lied right there, didn't he? He knew where he was. He knew where he'd killed him. He knew what he had done with it. He denied that. And how many people today deny that you're sinners? Listen, friend, you are a sinner. I go out and I knock on doors and ring doorbells and talk to people in different places. And 9 times out of 10, maybe more, almost 10 out of 10, when you ask them, have you come to the place in your spiritual maturity that you know if you died you're going to heaven? All of a sudden, they'll say yes. And then you say, why? And they'll give you a litany of all the good things that they do. they'll talk about the fact that they are not so bad, and maybe they're a sinner, but they're just not that bad, and they tried to do right, and they tried to be kind to their neighbor, and not all of those things. All of which means nothing until you understand that you're a lost sinner on your way to hell, and you must be born again. You have to be saved. And that's the only way you're going to get to heaven. You have to be saved. And here he is denying what he had done. Admit you're a sinner, friend. All of us are sinners. Join the count. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a person in this building that's perfect or ever has been or ever will be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ who makes us whole before God. Everybody needs a Savior, amen? And he needed a Savior. He was like so many proud people. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? I don't know. I didn't do anything wrong. It's not me. Denial that he is a sinner. And then we see the blood spoke out in verse 10, and he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." See, God knows. You've never done anything that God doesn't know you've done it. You may have hid it from your mama or your daddy. You teenagers are hiding some things, maybe, I don't know, from your mother and daddy, and if they found out, boy, you'd be in trouble. How about God? How about the fact that God knows everything you're up to? God sees in the dark. God sees in secret. God sees everything. And so he's asking, God is approaching him with his sin. "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." God knew he was a sinner. God knew he had killed his brother. God knew he had committed murder, premeditated murder. And then because of that, there was a curse, verse 11. See, God gave him that chance. He didn't take it. "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." God knew all the time what had happened. "When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive, a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." He didn't say, "I'm a sinner and I've sinned and I need mercy." He said, "I don't like the result of what I've done. My punishment is more than I can bear." May I say to you, my dear friend, unless you get saved, your punishment is going to be more than you can bear too. It's going to be an eternal damnation and separation from God in a real place called hell. And you will die and go to hell if you don't trust Christ as your Savior. And that's not a popular thing to say these days, but it's the fact of the Word of God. If you don't get saved, my dear friend, get your sins washed away, then you will die and go to a devil's hell. The old time preachers used to say you'll split hell wide open. And that's really the truth of the matter. That's really the truth of it. Well, look at the judgment, verses 13, the rest of the chapter. "And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. From the face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive, a vagabond in the earth." There's always a price to sin and rejecting God. Always. Not only in the life to come, but in this life. When we reject God, why waste all your life? Why not get saved when you're a child? Why not get saved when you're a teenager? Don't waste your life and throw that away. Don't do that. Cain said, "My punishment is more than I can bear. I'm going to be a vagabond on the earth. It'll come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. They'll want to kill me." There wasn't a whole lot of people around then, and they all knew exactly what had taken place. And he was going to have to face all of these people. It was going to happen. But we see God's grace in verse 15. "The Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. The Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." He was worried about him killing him. God was still gracious to him. He still was very merciful to him. I want to tell you, friend, if you're alive today breathing God's air, it's because of the mercy of God. And it's because God wants to save your soul, and you need to be saved today if you're not saved. You need to come to Christ and get under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I might add, by the way, that Cain still died. God watched over him for a period of time, but he still died, and I suppose he died in his lost condition. He died without the Lord Jesus Christ. What a sad, sad thing. Here he was in the early history of man. Here he was with an opportunity with God himself speaking to him. By the way, God is not through speaking. He speaks in services like this through a message and a messenger in the Holy Spirit who is saying to you maybe right now what he's saying is right. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need to have your sins forgiven. There is no other way to get to heaven. You will not get there by your works. You won't get there by bringing carrots and peas and all of that out of the garden that you have come up with. You'll only get to heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus came. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we through him might be made the righteousness of God. Friend, there's no need for you to die and go to hell. You can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You cannot earn your salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a what? Gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If I could have earned my way to heaven, I could have said, God, here I am. I've done all these good deeds. Let me in. I have a right to come in. God says, oh, no. I demand perfection. Can you give me that? And I'd say, no, I could never give you perfection except through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we'll ever be declared holy and perfect before God is not our works, not our good intention, not all of these things. Cain was wrong. Cain was filled with pride. And that's the thing that condemns more people to hell than anything else. Pride. What are people going to think? What will my friends think? You better ask this question. What would God think? What's God thinking about me? I'm telling you, friend, hell is forever. Heaven, thank God, is forever too. I give you the negative and I give you the positive. Heaven's a wonderful place, but you need to be born again. You need to be saved and do it God's way. Well, God sometimes gives a first chance. He blew the first chance. And then God gives second chance, sometimes maybe more. But friend, what are you going to do with the opportunities God gives you to be born again? Christian, what are you going to do with the opportunity God gives you to get sin right in your life? To get things right between you and God before God has to come down with his heavenly holy razor strap and wear your backside out. Which he'll do if you're saved, because he loves you. Because that's a strange way. I know I used to feel that way when Mama was whipping me and Daddy. I'd feel like, boy, they say they love me and that's why they're doing this, but it sure does hurt. But I want to tell you, you've got to do it God's way. You've got to be born again. There's no other way. And then if you are a born-again Christian and you're living outside of the will of God, I want to tell you, God will chastise you because he loves you. He'll chastise you because he loves you. And so we have the fact that there is one thing that will save us. What is that? How can I go to heaven? If I died today, how can I know I'd go to heaven? By the way, you could die today. You don't plan on it, but you might. Most people that died didn't plan on dying the day they died, did they? Especially if it was called what we call an accident. There are no accidents with God. But my dear friend, you need to make your decision for the Lord Jesus Christ right now based on the blood sacrifice and not put it off. And it has to be the right way. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. What is that? Eternal separation from God. And if you think you're going to earn your way to heaven by being good, you know, you talk to people and they say, you know, they talk like they're just such perfect people. And then they'll say, now I know I'm not perfect. And I want to say, yeah, that's the whole point, dear friend. But God demands perfection. You'll not get into heaven unless you're perfect. How are you going to be perfect? It is God's giving you the perfection of His Son, Jesus Christ. It is called imputed righteousness. Not our works, but it's the righteousness that God gives us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I believe that was the sacrifice that Abel brought, the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof, the shed blood that God taught them way back in the Garden of Eden, that it had to be the shedding of blood. The shedding of blood. Not our works, not our fig leaves, not our good deeds. You think you're going to get to heaven by your good deeds? You will not get there, dear friend, because you can't be perfect and you're not perfect. And so it's grace that saves us. It's not our good deeds. It's grace that saves us. And the only way is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Savior. Have you done that? If you hadn't, I encourage you to do it today. Would you stand, please? Abel was justified by his faith in what God said to do. Cain rebelled, went on his way, and paid a high price for his rebellion. He was a vagabond everywhere he went. He had to pull up roots and move again for many, many years. But friend, would you trust Christ today as your Savior? If you have trusted Him as Savior, come and make it public. May I say to you, dear Christian, you cannot get away with sin. You have to confess your sin and walk in fellowship with God. If we don't do it God's way, it's the wrong way, and the wrong way will never work. It has to be based on the blood, and as a child of God, you have to come to God and confess, even as a child of God, your sins, not to be saved again, but to have fellowship restored. There are a lot of Christians here today who've broken fellowship with God. Would you come and have it restored today? Let's pray. Father, thank you that as we go back to the book of Genesis, we see one of the greatest and first theological lessons, and that is that it has to be the shedding of blood that brings the forgiveness of sin. Lord, we look at Cain and we see pride and works and self, and we see failure and judgment. When we look at Abel, we see grace and mercy and shed blood. And it reminds us of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I pray if there's anyone here today without Christ, they'd come and be saved. Those of us that are saved by grace, help us, O God, to live by faith and to serve You with all of our hearts, to do what's right today and judge sin in our lives. Not that we would lose our salvation, but that fellowship, sweet, sweet fellowship with You that You've given us the possibility of through salvation would be restored today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we sing, would you come? May God help you to come as others have come already. Would you do it? Come.